Well, hey, good morning, everybody. We're continuing our series today through the Lord's Prayer. So as we're in our Teach Us to Pray series, I want to invite you at this time to go ahead and head over to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 6 today. And as you're headed over there, let me just give a brief introduction to the Bible for those of you who might be new to the Bible that are watching with us today. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament gives us a record of God's chosen people, Israel, and tells us about their need for a rescuer, a redeemer. They use the word Messiah. Now, when we get to the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, we find out who that rescuer, that redeemer, that Messiah is. We discover that it's Jesus. And in the New Testament, we read about his glorious life. We read about his miraculous birth of a virgin. We read then also about his life, his sinless life, his miracles, the things that he did to love people, and the way that he taught people to live. We then also read about his death on a cross. We discover that Jesus was God in flesh, not just any man, not just a prophet, but truly God in flesh. And that whenever he died a death that we deserved, but he took in our place so that our sin could be forgiven. We also then read about his resurrection 3 days later after his death, where God proved that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So whenever we read today in the Gospel of Matthew, we're reading one of the biographies of Jesus, and we're reading just a little section whenever he taught his disciples to pray. As we started worship today, we recited the Lord's Prayer, probably maybe the most well-known passage out of the entire New Testament. But today we're going to focus in on Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, one verse right in the middle of that prayer. So I'm going to read that to us, and then we'll jump in. So let me pray, and then we'll go right into the scripture. Father, today we pray, let the word come alive so that people who are listening and hearing from you would discover the truth of who you are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, this is what we read. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the word of the Lord. So, give us this day our daily bread. I've just returned from a trip to the Holy Land. I was there with a group of folks from our church, and it was an amazing trip. I wish that everybody in the church could have gone with me. And by the way, I'd love to go back next year. So if that's something you're interested in, start saving your money now, because I think it would be a lot of fun to go back. But here's something that I noticed while I was in the Holy Land. People bake bread there all the time. You know, here we're used to fast food or maybe even just the convenience of food, but we're certainly not accustomed to the sort of bread that they make there in the Holy Land. Every day, every place I went, I saw people that were making fresh bread. It certainly brought this passage alive to me whenever Jesus would talk about the fact that we need to ask God to give us our daily bread. Every single day. In fact, on our last day in Jerusalem, we were walking down an alley, and I snapped the photo of a man that was in a bakery, and he was providing some bread there. And so I took a photo of that, just watching the bread kind of come off a conveyor belt, and it smelled amazing, and it was so great. So whenever we jump into this passage of Jesus talking about, give us this day our daily bread, I think it really began to show me some things as I was there and as I looked into the scripture. I realized first and foremost that whenever Jesus is asking people to pray for the daily bread, that he is asking them to pray for provision, to pray for provision. God is our source of provision. That's the first thing that we notice here in this passage. Now, you see, daily bread isn't just something that happens in the Middle East, but daily bread is something that happens all over the world. Right now, all over the world, there are people who are getting up, walking a long distance to a well, drawing out water, they're returning home, they're finding grain, and they're grinding that grain, and they're taking that water and that grain, they're making a paste, a dough, and they're pounding it into some kind of bread. If you're in India, they call it naan. If you're in the Middle East, it might be pita. If you're in a Latin American country, it might be a tortilla. But the truth of the matter is, whatever grain and whatever a dough you make, you're making daily bread. And here's the thing about daily bread. Daily bread tastes better than the stuff that we get in the supermarket. You probably already know that, don't you? I mean, we're accustomed to the stuff that's loaded up with preservatives and stored in plastic bags and on supermarket shelves, but it does not compare to the fresh baked bread, whatever that is. If you've ever had a fresh hot tortilla, or if you've ever had fresh hot bread straight from the streets of Jerusalem, you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. That sort of bread just doesn't compare. It tastes way better. But here's the downside to daily bread. It's not good the next day. I mean, you can probably still eat it, but let's be honest, it's just not the same. Daily bread kind of has this mindset that you don't want to be wasteful because you're making sure that you use just the right amount of grain, just the right amount of water. You want to make sure that you're making enough to go day by day by day. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he's teaching his disciples. Pray for daily bread. Ask God to give you what you need just to make it through the day. That's the first lesson there. You see, many of us, whenever it comes to provision, let's be honest, we don't like depending on God. Now, have you seen HEB lately? Been into Kroger lately? If you have, you've certainly seen some shelves. And you've seen shelves because there's been nothing on them. Now, one of my friends texted me some pictures just the other day from HEB over at Grant and Spring Cypress. I mean, man, the freezer case was empty. The produce aisle was empty. I mean, the canned good aisle, totally bare. We know that we are not a people who are accustomed to living day by day. If we think that our supply chain for our food might run out tomorrow, then we are going to panic and we're going to try to hoard as much as we can so that we can make it through weeks at a time. We're not a people who are comfortable with a day-by-day mentality. Now, I have no idea how long this situation that we're in is going to last, but let's be honest, our economy is in a little bit of a free fall right now. I mean, you know that. I don't have to tell you that. Can it be any accident then that in our own culture, we've taken the term dough and bread, and we use that to refer to money? So, you know, get that dough, get this bread. That's the stuff that we refer to. I mention that because in the same way that Jesus exhorted his disciples to ask God to pray for enough provision to make it through the day, many of us have grown accustomed to having enough to make it through several days, perhaps even a year or several years. We've lost that sense of dependence on God. I have no idea what it is that God's doing through this calamity in the world right now, but I do know this. It's probably in some ways a good thing for many of us to relearn dependence on God the Father when it comes to provision. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Where do you think that your help comes from? Well, how many times did you check the market this week? How many times did you check maybe the inventory of a certain item? It doesn't take long for us to really realize whenever we're in a pinch where it is that we think our provision arrives. The truth is that for many of us, our provision comes from some place that, or at least we think it comes from some place other than God. But what the scripture reminds us over and over is that our help comes first and foremost from the Lord Jesus. I mean, let's be honest. There's people right now who are losing their jobs, people who are being laid off. All of us are watching our retirement accounts, if we have them, plummet below. I'm not minimizing finances, but I am recognizing the fact that in this moment, depending on God as provider is more real and more prescient than ever before. And so we need to truly press in and lean into the fact that God is our provider. Now, God taught the children of Israel this in a very real way. In the book of Exodus, maybe you remember the story, maybe you don't. The children of Israel were told to go out and to gather manna. That manna was bread that would go bad at the end of the day. In fact, the word manna literally means what is it? Because the bread kind of looked like flakes that was there on the grass. So the children of Israel would go out and they would collect that bread. And as they would do that, the Lord told them, now listen, don't gather more than you need because tomorrow it's going to go bad. And if they had any left over, they would open the jar, they would look in and they would see maggots and worms all over the place. God was teaching them and teaching us, I think, again today, that really we may save all we want, but at the end of the day, we depend on God for everything. God gives us everything. As the Bible says, Jesus himself said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Many of us have found our security and our provision in something outside of God. Did you know that the scripture literally says that we are held together by Jesus Christ? It's not just your next paycheck that you depend on from God. It's your very next breath. God provides every single thing that we need. And in the same way that the children of Israel got manna in the desert, we are in a place right now where as a church and as a country, we need to actually turn around and lean on and say, God, you're the only source of provision. I'm never going to get provision from any place other than from you. So right now today, the first thing that we need to hear, God is our ultimate source of provision. He's the place that we need to lean. So whenever we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we lean there first and foremost. Secondly, God just isn't our source of provision. God is also our source of comfort. He's our source of comfort. A few years ago, Ben, my oldest son, got injured running cross country, and he went to a guy who does sports medicine here in the area. And as he was looking at Ben's foot, he said, well, your foot hurts, but the problem actually isn't in your foot. The problem actually is in your hip. And so they worked on Ben's hip, and then Ben's foot stopped hurting whenever he would run. You've probably had a similar experience like that. Going to the doctor, you think one thing's wrong, it turns out to be something else. Or you take your car into the mechanic, and you think it's one thing, and it turns out to be something else. Oftentimes, pain uncovers a symptom that we think is the problem, but really there's a deeper root cause. I think right now we're kind of in one of those moments. I think we're in a moment where right now disruption is bringing to light all sorts of things that we have happening in our hearts. Let me ask you a question. Over this sort of disrupted season, have you found yourself turning to comforts that you normally aren't able to access? Or have you found yourself craving comforts that you normally are able to access, but now you can't get to? Are you finding yourself wanting to pick up your phone more? Are you finding yourself going to Netflix or wanting to take another drink? Are you finding yourself wanting to comfort yourself in ways, call people, lean on people in ways that you haven't normally? The scripture says that our best and first source of comfort is from the God of all comfort. But the truth is that many of us right now, because of disruption, are discovering that we have a habit or we have a proclivity to run to a source of comfort, something other than God. And I think that right now, we should actually look at this disruption as a good thing in many ways, because in this exact moment, God is using this disruption in a positive sense. And this is what I mean. Disruption is God's way of diagnosing. So the disruption is diagnosing a spiritual need in our heart. And I think that this disruption is God's way of getting our attention and showing us the places that we are tending to run to seek comfort rather than Him. So here's just a couple of questions right now. Whenever you need to be comforted right now, where are you turning initially? Are you turning to friends, to your phone, or are you turning to God? Here's another question. Where are you frustrated? Whenever you're frustrated, what do you find yourself doing? Had a man call me actually this week and tell me that he was noticing that he was angry more regularly because this sort of incident had brought a lot of chaos into his life. And because of this chaos, he's frustrated. Well, here's the thing that I noted to him, and I'll note it to you as well, is that the chaos and the anger are really kind of the surface issues. But the question really isn't, why is it that this chaos is making me angry? It's really more of a question of, why am I angry in the first place? Now, what's the deeper issue below that? And I think that right now, this season of disruption is causing all sorts of things to bubble up to the surface. And many of us are having a moment of spiritual diagnosis that we desperately need, but we hadn't noticed it before because we've been so distracted and so busy. But what do you do when your calendar's cleared, when you got to stay home, when you can't suddenly do all the things that you're used to doing? You begin to notice some problems in your heart, and our tendency is to try and distract ourselves away from those. But this is what I want us to do. Not distract, but actually notice them. Notice the places where we're uncomfortable. Notice the places where we're anxious. Notice the places where we're angry. Notice those things, because in doing so, that's how God is going to grow us through this. When you notice that, you begin to have a path towards spiritual growth. This is a good time to break out the scripture, to pray through the book of Psalms. This is a good time to spend moments in silence just listening to the Lord. This is a good time to sit outside and to soak in the majesty and the marvels of creation. These are good things for us to do because we normally don't have the margin to do them. I truly think that right now, disruption might in some ways be a good thing for us to learn to lean into what it is that God wants to teach us. So I would encourage you right now, whenever you're seeking comfort, you may run or you may be tempted to run rather to many other things, but I would encourage you run to the Lord first. This is a verse I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Did you notice that? Paul says that we get comforted by God. And whenever we have that supernatural comfort, then we're able to hand that over to other people. Here's the truth. You'll never be able to help someone else until you've first been comforted, not by stuff, not by food, not by exercise, not by schedule, not by achievements, not by your phone, not by Netflix. You'll only be able to comfort other people when you first have received the comfort from God, because that's the only thing that ultimately comforts. So you have to let God comfort you, and then you can turn around and comfort other people. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says. Let God comfort you first, and then turn around and comfort others. That's what I think a beautiful picture of ministry would be right now. So we're a people that have that comfort from God, and we can turn around and give it to others. Let's be honest. A lot of folks right now are freaking out and are stressed out. Who better to provide comfort than the Church of Jesus Christ? So, church, I would encourage you, if you've received that comfort, then turn around and give that comfort to others. Don't just hoard it for yourself, because people are in need of that. Find ways to serve your neighbors. Go make a slip of paper, put a note on their door, say, hey, I can help you out. I'll go run errands for you. Send encouraging texts to your neighbors, to your friends, to the people that you know are anxious or stressed. Text them scriptures, text them truths. Let them know that God is with them right now. Remind them that you have been comforted and that they too can receive that same sort of comfort if they'll place their faith and their dependence in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our source not only of provision, but also of comfort. But my favorite part is this last point and this thing that I was really excited about sharing with you guys today, and it's this, is that God isn't just our source of comfort, but He's also our source of hope. So right now, I think that we are in a moment where the doctrine of the resurrection and the promise of heaven are sweeter than ever, because people are sensing their mortality. Anybody right now, anybody has probably said, hey, what happens to me if I catch the virus? What happens to me if I end up in a respirator in the hospital? Because this disease does not discriminate based on wealth, based on race, based on education. People are dying all around the world right now. So what's the point? The point is this, is that the resurrection and heaven are doctrines and teachings that the scripture teaches that we can hold on to, that we can hold on to. When Jesus teaches, give us this day our daily bread, I actually think He's talking about those promises. I'm going to tell you why. Did you know that whenever we say the verse, give us this day our daily bread, that word daily, we actually don't know if that's what the word is. Crazy, but true. The Greek word right there in the New Testament for daily, we have no idea how to translate it. For real. This is kind of nuts, but it's not found in any other ancient text anywhere. It's only found in the New Testament, and it's only there twice, both times in the Lord's Prayer, once in the Gospel of Matthew, once in the Gospel of Luke. Now, it has a prefix, epi, and now that prefix, epi, lets us know that it has something to do with time, but we're not exactly sure what. So many people truly think it does refer just to today, and I think that it does, but there's a stream of thought, and I love this stream of thought. I want you to follow me with this, that the word there that Jesus was praying was not just a word that was about today's needs, but it was a word that was also dealing with eternal needs. I think that Jesus used the word daily there. That Greek word has a double meaning. It's, Lord, give us today the bread that we need to make it through the day, but God, also give us the bread that we need to make it into heaven, into the resurrection, into the future. That's what I think is the best way to translate that word. It makes sense, right? Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. Jesus himself said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It makes sense that Jesus would say, if you need a source of hope, that hope cannot be found just in physical daily bread that you need to live, but also on a bread that will bring you provision and sustenance as you step one day into the heavenly gates and into the resurrection. I think that as Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, he is saying, give us the bread that we need to live today, to be physically nourished, but God, also give us the bread that we need to be spiritually nourished so that one day we can sit at the wedding supper of the Lamb and have bread with you. Wow, that's amazing to me. I love that. I think it's beautiful. Why else would Jesus institute the Lord's Supper? To give us a supper that foreshadows that moment when our daily bread here becomes daily bread with him, day in and day out. So here's the thing. We need that kind of bread because where else are we going to get hope? If your portfolio hits rock bottom, where are you going to find hope? If someone in your family gets sick, where are you going to find hope? If you lose everything through this crisis, where will you find hope? Listen, my hope is not found in my job. My hope is not found in my retirement account. My hope is not found in my health or the health of my family. All of those things are nice, beautiful circumstances that make this world very, very good. But here's the truth. If I lose everything, I still have hope. Why? Because I have Jesus Christ and God's living spirit in me. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that the living spirit of God might come into each of us. And by giving us his spirit, we might have new life. God gave us that spirit so that we would know that we could resist temptation. God gave us that spirit so that we could know that we could live the heavenly life right now. God gave us that spirit so that we could have hope when others around us are dying 1,000 deaths. And if you today need that kind of hope, here's what I want you to know. This Lord Jesus Christ, he provides day by day, real bread provision, but the same Jesus Christ also gives the sort of eternal provision that you need, and that is in the bread of life, and that is in him. I want to encourage you today, if you have yet to say yes to Jesus Christ, you'll never have hope if you're leaning on your job, if you're leaning on your spouse, if you're leaning on the achievements of your kids. You'll never have hope if you're trying to make a name for yourself or get status. You will only have hope if you know this, that one day when you draw your last breath on this side of heaven, your next breath will be in the presence of the Lord God. Find and place your hope in the only place that it truly will never, ever go to waste. And that is in the bread of life, the bread that never molds, the bread that never stales, the bread in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is where hope is found and where hope can only be found. So today we have a source of provision, daily bread. We have a source of comfort, daily bread, but we have a source of hope, eternal bread that comes through the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. So here today, here's how I would ask you to respond. If you have yet to say yes to Jesus and you want that hope, you want that eternal life, you want to know that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you will spend eternity with him, right now you can say yes to Jesus. Make the decision. I believe that God became flesh in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified on my behalf so that my sins were punished. I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and gave the Spirit so that I could have this hope. And if that's you, then right now you can place your faith in him and you can have hope and you can have new life. Now, if you just did that, here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to ask you to do. I want you right now to, depending on where you're watching it, to let us know. If you're on the app, fill out a card on the app. If you're on Facebook, make a comment on Facebook. If you're watching online, go into the chat there, but let us know. I'm ready to place my faith in Jesus, and we're going to reach out to you. We want to send you some resources so that way you'll know what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and we want to help you. So just let us know, and right now we'll send you some stuff to get you on your way. Others of us right now, we're discouraged, we're afraid, we need comfort, we need prayer. And if you need prayer right now, you can reach out to us and our prayer ministry is going to follow up with you. They want to pray with you. So just make a comment there on Facebook or in the chat on the online page or through the app, fill out a prayer request form, send that to us, and then we're going to follow up with you and we're going to pray with you. I wish that right now we had our prayer time where we could be together face to face and pray, and we can't, but we're going to pray virtually. All you have to do is just basically through the internet, raise your hand and let us know that you need prayer through a comment, through a chat, through a card, through the app. And as you do that, we're going to reach out to you and we're going to pray with you and for you. So just let us know. We want to be there to pray with you and pray for you. If you need help in some other way, you can also do the same. Whether you need physical help, you need financial help, you need someone to run errands for you, you can use a comment card. You can go to hnw.org/online, but you can also just basically make a comment right now. One of our team members will come to you and say, we're ready to help you right here, right now. So I'm going to pray over us today. It's been great to be with you, church, but I want you to know this. God wants to give you provision. God wants to give you comfort, and God wants to give you hope for eternity. Turn to Him. Place your faith in Him, because this is a moment where we see where our faith truly comes into play. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for the reality of giving your Son. Thanks that you give daily bread. And God, today I pray that we will say yes to you, that we will depend on you for provision, that we'll run to you for comfort, and we will trust in you for hope. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. And today we thank you for these things. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. At HNW, our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. Because of that, we would love to invite you to get connected here at HNW. For more info, go to hnw.org/newhere. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great day.